It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it is your old buddy Luke Clayton, and thanks for tuning in right here on KETR for the past 6 years. It doesn't seem like we've been doing this outdoor show that long, but we have, and we try to cover the gamut on topics. You know, till season this year, till season started opening a little bit earlier than it used to. It opens on September the 10th through the 25th. And who better to talk to about hunting any kind of ducks than our buddy Larry Large. Now, Larry's been with us many, many times talking about everything from hunting elk to ducks, but he's got some good private land places and public where he hunts ducks, and he likes to kick things off toward the end of September there, probably the last week or two of teal season when the birds are in, and he starts guiding teal hunts. Larry, are you with us today, buddy?
I'm sure enough here.
Well, thank you a lot for spending some time with us, and I think I'm pretty correct in stating that teal flights and migrations of teal can be somewhat iffy. It's hard to set a clock by the teal. They seem to run on their own calendar, but they sure are fun to hunt, and they sure are fun to eat, aren't they?
Boy, they are great eating if you can just find them and stay on them. It seems like teal show up when you least expect it, and when the conditions are all perfect, you can't find one.
That's teal hunting 101, Larry, in a nutshell. It really is. Public water. Say, like, I know that you hunt a lot on, Lake Cooper up there. Have you had in past years good numbers of teal in September up there?
I've had some fantastic numbers of teal in September. And then again, we have fantastic numbers right after Thanksgiving. There's two different groups. I don't know where they come from. But I've also had the early season teal where you couldn't find one on Cooper. But normally, if you do your homework the week before season opens, you can find teal on Cooper.
That's a good tip. And, you know, I'm glad you pointed out the week before, because teal are, they're highly migrational right now. I mean, they've got their minds on many of them heading on south, you know. So a scouting trip not too prior to your hunt, that's really important, isn't it?
Yeah, I usually try, I go over and kind of familiarize myself the week before season. But now season usually always opens on a Saturday, so I will go back over again on Thursday and do my final scouting. If they're there Thursday, more than likely they'll be there Saturday. They may not be there Sunday, but they'll definitely be there by Saturday.
Yeah, just say like a couple of days before the hunt. Teal are notorious for being easy to decoy. And I'm not sure that calling, I don't know really if it's really all that important or not with teal, but when they see some blocks on the water, some decoys, they're not hesitant to try to join the flock, are they?
No, they're really not. I very, very seldom ever even worry about a call. Once in a while, I'll give a peep or something just to impress my customers that I actually do know how to call them. Whether it works or not, I have no clue. I've had just about as good a success, just putting blocks out, and they'll circle once or twice, and then they just fall in there. And, I mean, they fall in there at 60 mile an hour.
I know. You know, an interesting thing about teal, they sound like jets coming over. There's no question about it. They really do. They sound like they're just rockets when they – I know anybody that's ever hunted any kind of ducks have had teal buzz them, and you think they're little fighter planes coming over. But I talked to some Ducks Unlimited. I actually hunted with one of their biologists one time, and I told him, I said, man, there's no telling how fast these things fly. You know, and this is a guy with the sheepskin on the wall, and he says, you know, Luke, I'm going to tell you, he said, this is going to shock you. But a mallard fly has the potential and does fly faster than a teal. It's just something about the way the teal's feathers, their wing feathers, are built They are fast, but he said a mallard has been proven to be a little bit faster. So at any rate, I know one thing, my shot string on teal a lot of times has been about 3 foot behind them instead of on them, Larry, you know.
Well, they're really, really deceiving. I know for a fact, I've talked to some of those biologists myself who say mallards fly faster than teal, but it's the idea that a teal ain't no bigger than a minute. And that big old mallard, he's a great big old bird. It don't look like he's flying as fast, but actually they are flying faster than teal. It's just teal do not fly in a straight line. They seem to have a left and right and an up and down that all takes place at the same time.
Almost like a dove, Larry, you know?
A lot like a dove.
They can dip and dive and it almost seems like take a right angle just with the snap of a finger. But when you're setting up for teal, this might help some folks, Larry. Of course, you've got to find them first, and that's the key in any kind of, you know, duck hunting for sure, scouting and finding a concentration. But do you use, are you a believer in teal decoys or any decoys?
I basically believe in using my mallard decoys just because I've got so doggone many of them. I got a couple dozen teal decoys, but one thing I am a firm believer in, the bigger the decoy, the farther away they can see them. Now, teal can't tell you that's a mallard, that's a goose. They don't really care, I don't believe. So I try to use my mallard decoys because I believe they can see them from a farther distance and turn and lock on them a lot sooner.
I think that's true. And, you know, in the same perspective, in a way, Larry, hunting the big ducks, your magnum decoys that are one and one half the size of a standard decoy. You use those for big ducks, so your idea of the fact if they can't see them, then they're not coming, you know. So from a distance, I don't really think a migratory bird, a duck, a teal, you know, whatever, I just don't think its brain works that way. Say, wait a minute, this one's about half as big as it should be. He just sees some ducks on the water, and he says they must be eating something, so they set their wings and come in. What shot size do you like when you're during teal season, when that's all you can shoot?
I very seldom ever use anything but sixes.
Yeah.
I also use sixes on mallards, especially when I'm hunting by myself, because I think 90% of the fun is getting the birds to come in and set where you want them to set and do what you want to do. But with teal, they're not as tough as a big old mallard, and I like the fact that I got a whole lot more sixes in there than I do fours or twos, because they're hard enough to hit to start with.
I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. So I just go ahead and use the sixes, and it seems to do a real good job.
It does. And I've hunted them with seven and a halves, you know, and some people do that. So you're way better than trying to load up with some heavy fours. I'm on the same mindset with you, Larry. And then the thing is, you know, a portable blind, you and I have hunted together so much, you know, you can put up a good portable blind and even take a couple of 2x6s and drive in the saw in the ground, the soft mud there, and put a plank on it, build you a seat, put a few pieces of rebar. You don't have to go the T-post program all the way, but just a little semicircular blind in front of you and something that can conceal you. That's about all you need for teal, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. The only problem with hunting a place like Cooper is it's such a big pond of water that you need to be mobile. The ducks may be there today, they may be somewhere else tomorrow. If you've got that little portable thing that you're talking about setting up, you know, you can roll most of that up. You can put it anywhere you want to put it. You just have to have a boat to get there. And so if I'm going to go ahead and use a boat to get there, I've got a real nice blind already built on my boat and everything. I just go ahead and set it up. But one of the bigger keys, I think, to teal hunting is getting as shallow a water as you can get. Now, for mallards, I'll hunt a lot of times over 18 inches to 3 foot, 4 or 5 foot of water. But with teal, I don't. I get right back on the bank.
They're notorious for liking very shallow water, dabbling in there for, I know, crustaceans and whatever. But you're right. They, even in farm ponds, the ones I've shot, you know, up into the real, really, you know, really shallow stuff that they can wade around in, you know?
Right. That's the reason that, you know, sometimes I'll use my boat and to get me to an area, then get out on the bank. I may have to walk, you know, 100 yards from my boat to set that blind up like you're talking, because I can't get my boat back in shallow enough water to actually make it look right. So I just build that brush blind like you're talking about.
You bet. Well, Larry, we're running just about out of time for today's show. How about leaving your website? It not only encompasses waterfowl, but you know, hog hunting and elk and bear and deer, some archery deer hunts. How do they learn more about what you do?
It's huntingeasttexas.com, and my phone number is 970-819-3464. I'll talk hunting to anybody, anytime.
Now, that's a fact, and also take them hunting. And I want to get you back soon, Larry. Of course, deer season's coming up. You and I'll be hunting with you up in Kansas, archery hunts, and I think the hunts are all filled up this year. But maybe get you to talk about Kansas hunting those big deer up there in northern Kansas, where the farm is that you hunt. We might devote a show to that here in not too distant future, Larry. I will mention that the teal season, we probably need to point this out, is September the 10th through the 25th, and 6 birds daily. Now, you can only keep 18 total in possession. That's 3 times the daily limit. Of course, all this information's public. You know, you can go to Texas Parks and Wildlife or just pick up a hunting annual, you know it, where you buy your license. But of course, you can shoot blue, green, and cinnamon teal, blue wing, green wing, and cinnamon. Shooting hours, just so you don't, if you might remember it, make sure and check all this out again before you go. But as always, it's half an hour before sunrise to sunset. You got to have the Texas Migratory Game Bird stamp. A few years ago, that became law. And then, of course, the federal duck stamp and a HIP certification if you're 16 years of older. Larry, I also want to tell everybody, all of our outdoor friends, about a event in, let's see, it will be October the 3rd at the Waldworth Harrison Public Library. It's an open forum that's going to be held there. I'm going to be there talking about outdoor riding, you know, talking a little bit about, I'll have my books there. We're going to give a portion of the book sales to the library, but it's the Waldworth Harrison Library, folks, and located at 1 Lou Finley Drive, and it will be October the 3rd, which is a Monday evening, 6 to 7:30. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you very much for tuning in to today's show. And remember, you can listen to the archive of all of our shows at ketr.org. Just go there and look under local programs. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, the Texas Deer Association, Sun Optics USA, Purina Mills, and Darton Archery.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.